Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach broadcast. My name is Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr., and tonight we're going to have a powerful show. This is actually going to be part one, and part two is going to air at 1 in the morning. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And while you're at 1 Samuel chapter 3, as the Lord lead, I am going to read the description of the lesson as is the custom. And again, you do not want to miss this. This is going to be very powerful. So again, 1 Samuel chapter 3, please get it and walk with me in scripture as the Lord uses me to point some things out, okay? Here in 2016, if everyone isn't trying to be an apostle, they are trying to be a prophet or a prophetess. Some are even trying to mix the offices and calling themselves apostolic prophets. Some men have called themselves master prophets. There's so much misconception going on concerning this office. The truth is that this office, like the office of apostle, is a lonely office. This office is also the other part of the foundational giftings. This is a preaching office, though, when mixed with the teaching anointing, makes the devil very upset because then he can't throw the prophet or the prophetess off course. As in all of the other four offices, there are ups and downs. Good and bad, strengths and weaknesses, advantages and consequences from being in this office. This office is God's mouthpiece to the nations and to the ministries when he can't seem to be heard through the other avenues in the ministry. When God sends a prophet or a prophetess in the buildings, the pastor needs to sit down himself and listen. Because when God sends the prophet or the prophetess in the buildings, they haven't been sent to be under you, pastor, but they were sent to either commend the ministry or to warn the ministry. In Amos 3 and 7, the prophet shared that, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." Some of you ministers and ministries have asked God to speak to you and reveal his plan to you. You need to be careful what you ask for, saith the Lord. Grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey of study concerning God's elite army of spiritual leaders and avengers, otherwise known as the fivefold ministry. I am led to warn you, though, this information will differ from your denomination and from your opinions of God's order. But the information has always been listed in the Holy Bible, which is God's bestseller. This is part three in the teaching series of God's Avengers, the Avengers, Adventures of the Fivefold Ministry. And this is the Office of the Prophet and Prophetess, part one. Let's open up with prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you asking you to forgive us for all of our sins and shortcomings and our faults and our wrongs. We ask, Father, that you minister to us, talk to us, feed us, encourage us, enlighten us, empower us, reveal to us, educate us, minister to your servants, the prophets and the prophetesses, and anoint them in a mighty way that they should, at the end of this broadcast, be encouraged and be joyous because of the responsibility that you have given them. Make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and give me a spiritual understanding of your word. In Jesus' name I thank you and I pray. And you do the teaching, not I, but you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to read the whole third chapter of 1 Samuel. And I'd like to ask you to join with me. I'm in the King James Version. And it reads on this wise. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God was out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, praise God, and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Praise God. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Excuse me, let me read that again, verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this lesson. I just glorify you and magnify you, worship you. And now, Lord, please take this remaining time and educate your sons, the prophets. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I pray, amen. This is a very, very, very common scripture or story, or the characters are even common, and everyone is familiar with their names. But a lot of people are not familiar with the offices that these brothers stood in. Eli was a priest, which is like equivalent to a pastor, and Samuel was a prophet, which that also was known by other names. It is important to understand that in Amos 3 and 7, where Scripture says, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." In Amos 3 and 7, the word prophets is from the Hebrew word nabi, which means a prophet or generally an inspired man. Whether a true or false prophet, nabi still means prophet. True prophets were the mouthpieces of the true God. Samuel was called a seer. And that's from the Hebrew word roeh, which means vision. If you remember Nathan was a prophet. He was David's friend, and he was called a prophet, which is Nabi in the Hebrew. And there was a prophet named Gad who was also called a seer, and that word seer is from the Hebrew word kozeh. Now, prophet and seer and one who sees a vision, that's what a kozeh is, a prophet, a seer. One who sees a vision. See, the words translated seer emphasize the means by which the prophet communicated with God, but do not identify the men as anything different from prophets. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, because there's a lot of people, now you got to pay attention to this, because there's a lot of people that are training prophets, as they say, and they are telling prophets. And I talk to people all the time that are in the prophetic anointing and that whose gift is being cultivated. And there's people teaching them saying, listen, a seer and a prophet is two different things. That's a lie. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. Scripture says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Now, if you look at verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says, and Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. So a prophet is also called a seer. It is very, very, very important to understand that. There's a lot of people who build their prophetic office on the gift, the spiritual gift of prophecy. And you can't do that because just because a person prophesied does not make them a prophet. Not at all. See, prophets don't just prophesy. They don't do that. They don't just do that. And it's important for a person to understand that, because what happens is when you don't understand that, you will be in the right office sometimes and still not understand your office and go about it wrong. It's important to understand that to stand in the office of a prophet, one must have a more consistent proof or manifestation of at least two of the revelation gifts, which the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, plus the gift of prophecy. Now let's explain these three revelation gifts. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. And the word of wisdom always speaks of the future. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost of facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things. And the word of knowledge always speaks of present or past tense. Don't forget that. Remember, the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. And the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost of facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things. The word of wisdom always speaks of the future, and the word of knowledge always speaks of present or past tense. And then the third revelation gift is the discerning of spirits, which is a supernatural insight into the realm or the domain or the kingdom or the sphere of spirits. Seeing and hearing in the spirit realm is what happens when you have the gift of discernment. See, a prophet is one who has visions and revelations. This is why when the Lord lead me to talk to people that God has called into the prophetic office, the Lord uses me as a vessel to prove it to them by asking them a few simple questions. One is, don't you have the gift of dreams? The answer is yes, because a prophet is one who has dreams as well as visions. The Lord will also lead me to ask a prophet or a prophetess, if you had a choice between worship or praising God, which one will it be? And a true prophet would praise God. Prophets do praise and worship. Praise and worship. A true prophet, will worship God. They will worship God. A prophet and a prophetess, they will worship. Oh, glory, hallelujah. They will worship God. And when you worship God, that's when you have your quiet time with God. And you hear him when you worship him, when you honor him, when you lift him up, when you glorify him, when you magnify his name. You worship God. And he will reveal to you what his will is. And he will use the word of wisdom. He will use the word of knowledge, and you will discern that this is God speaking. This is how he deals with his prophets and his prophetesses. Remember, a prophet is one who has visions and revelations, and there's three types of visions. The highest type of revelation and the lowest type of vision are similar, and sometimes a person cannot tell the difference unless their gift is cultivated. The first one is a spiritual vision, and this is when a person has a vision in their spirit or see in their spirit. Now, this is the first and lowest type of vision. The second one is a trance. The second highest type of vision is when one falls into a trance. When a person goes into a trance, their physical senses are suspended for a while. They're not aware of where they are or anything that contacts the physical realm. They're not unconscious. They're just more conscious of spiritual things than of physical things. And that is a blessing, a very strong blessing to know. And then third vision, the third type, and also it's the highest type of vision, is an open vision. When this happens, a prophet's physical senses are not suspended. His physical eyes are not closed. He possesses all his physical capabilities, yet he sees and hears in the realm of the spirit. In the book of Revelation, the apostle John, he saw the Lord in an open vision. Now remember that the apostles are the only ones that walk in all four of the other offices. The apostle walks as a prophet. The apostle will be used by God as an evangelist, and the apostle will be used by God as a pastor, and the apostle is also a teacher. It is important to understand this because, again, there's a lot of misconception going on about the spiritual gifts and the ministry gifts. Now, the ministry gift is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. And to operate the ministry gifts, God has put spiritual gifts in the body. It's like Batman from the 60s having a utility belt. He was a crime fighter. That was his occupation. But in order for him to fight crime, he needed his utility belt, which had everything in it that he needed. Well, the prophets of the Old Testament were called seers, and they would see and know things supernaturally. This, again, was a spiritual gift, the ability to see, visions, a vision. It is important to understand that. Even in the New Testament, now remember, in the Old Testament, the prophets were called Nabis, which means a prophet or an inspired man. And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 4:11, the word prophet was from the Greek word prophetes, and a prophetess was a foreteller, an inspired speaker, by extension a poet. So a prophet in the New Testament and the Old Testament was a poet as well. And they also were one who speaks forth or openly. Oh, glory to God. You got to understand something. This is in this day and time that we have, it's many people intruding in offices and not having the anointing to prove that God has called them. It is very important to understand that. The word revealed is used in connection with the prophet's ministry. The Lord told the Apostle Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Verse 30 says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So when the Lord has prophets together, God will use two or three to speak, but then he'll use one to confirm or to disaffirm the word. And then the other one that sitteth by will be used by God to also share in what God is doing. And the Holy Ghost will lead the first one to not say anything. It's a blessing when you have a group of prophets around and prophetesses, and God is using them. The Holy Ghost is leading them because there's no competition. There's no trying to out-prophet, no wonder. And listen, every word is not prophecy. Prophet may speak forth his revelations through the gift of prophecy. This is on a higher level than simple prophecy, because the lay people or anyone can have the spirit of prophecy, which is sporadic. The Lord will give anyone the spirit of prophecy, but the gift of prophecy is in the prophetic office. But the bad thing is most prophets don't want you to judge their revelations. But a prophet will bring forth the revelation just by telling what the Holy Ghost is saying. So all of this, I declare and I decree, it sounds good, it sounds powerful, but if the Holy Ghost is not telling you to declare this, if the Holy Ghost is not telling you that he is declaring this and he is decreeing this, then you are not speaking by the Spirit of God, but you are speaking by your own self. Sometimes the prophet will operate in the place of a foreteller, and this is the gift of the word of wisdom in operation through the prophet. The prophet will be used by God with the word of wisdom to tell what God is getting ready to do. Remember, because the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God, and it always speaks to the future. And what a lot of, you know, it's dangerous, though, when you have people that call prophets and always say, give me a word. Can you give me a word, please? Can I have a word? Would you please give me a word? It's good to be able to be used by God as a prophet to minister to the people of God, but we are in the dispensation of grace. And the anointing allows people to go before God themselves instead of always having to be led by a prophet. Now, that's dangerous when you have a prophet who feels that they have to dictate to a person everything that the person does. You can't do that. That's not good, because a lot of times you will lead people in trouble, and I've seen it to where people who are prophets or prophetesses, but their gift is not cultivated, what happens is that they get people in the jam, and when a person gets in the jam, that prophet or prophetess that are not seasoned, they tend to back away. They don't want to own up to what they've done wrong, but the Holy Ghost will hold them accountable. Never feel obligated to perform, because ministry is not entertainment. Ministry is a service that is set forth by God. It is important to know that. It is very important to know that. The prophetic office is how God speaks He uses the vessel as his mouthpiece. In the Old Testament, a seer, which again that Hebrew word is roeh, is one who had immediate conversation with God. It is important that a prophet or prophetess always stay lined up. And the reason why is because you are in the prophetic office and you are called by God and chosen by God and set apart by God. A prophet and a prophetess lives a life of consecration. They live that life of consecration. It's a very powerful thing, though, and it's an honor for God to call you in such a place. A lot of prophets and prophetesses want to be welcome. They want to fit in. They want to be popular. They want to have a crew. And then there's also a misconception about the school of the prophets. The school of the prophets is not a school that you can teach someone how to be a prophet or teach someone to prophesy. That's not what it is. In the Old Testament, the school of the prophets was actually called the band of the prophets or the sons of the prophets. And what it was is a group of young prophets that got together because they were consecrated. People don't understand a prophet. Prophets talk crazy. Prophets are very dramatic. And that's not always a bad thing. That's a good thing. Ezekiel talked crazy. You remember Ezekiel talking about a wheel inside of a wheel. Who could understand such a thing? A prophet also bears or shares in God's burden. The Lord will reveal to the prophet or the prophetess what is bothering him. Listen, glory to God. The Lord will wake you up, brother prophet and sister prophetess, early in the morning while everyone is asleep. God will wake you up and he will begin to vent to you. He will reveal to you through your gift of the word of wisdom, of the word of knowledge, and through the gift of discerning of spirits. He will reveal to you what's going on in heaven, what he wants to do in the earth realm. And he needs someone in the earth realm to agree with him so that he can release what he's trying to release. That's why he had to come down here himself, so he can agree on earth with himself in heaven. Oh, that's very powerful. Jesus was the only master prophet. There is no other master prophet. Even our Jordan, no, not a master prophet. Whenever you meet someone who claims to be a master prophet, and a lot of people are not going to like this, some probably going to stop listening to the broadcast right now, but be that as it may, anytime you run into someone who declares to be a master prophet, what they're doing is lifting themselves up. What they're doing is operating under the spirit of pride and deception and also rebellion, because they tend to go on their own instead of following the Holy Ghost. A prophet will not speak what the Lord hath not told them to speak. A prophetess will not speak what the Lord hath not told her to speak. She won't do it. He won't do it. Why? Because they know God. They work for God. They fear God. They communicate with God. It is very important to understand the prophetic office. God calls you to himself, and the Lord will minister to you. He'll prepare you. You might say, well, my family don't like me. I don't have any friends. Why am I so alone? Well, in that case, the Lord will bless you to be married, because he understands our need for being social, but he also is very serious about calling us to consecration. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, meaning the Holy Ghost is not sorry and he does not regret calling us. He won't regret it and he don't regret it. It is very important to understand this. It is very important, brother pastors, to understand that when God sends a prophet or a prophetess in the ministry, they are not there to sit down under you, because a pastor cannot instruct a prophet or a prophetess. They can't do it. Eli was a priest, which is equivalent to a pastor. And when Samuel went to him and said, here I am, it took Eli quite a few times before he realized, wait a minute, God is talking to him, because the prophet operates in a room and in a realm in which the pastor cannot go. Why? Because the pastor works for people, yet the prophet and the prophetess work for God. The pastor is a shepherd. The pastor works for the people. These days, when you run into a ministry that's been around 100 or 200 years, the pastor was voted in because he didn't start the ministry. He didn't start it. Ain't nobody walking around here 200 years old, 300 years old. So the ministry, the board or the recruiting team or the ones that go out looking for a leader, they hired the pastor. So now the pastor is a hireling, and the pastor, if the pastor don't preach what the people want to hear, they have a right to vote him out. The prophet and the prophetess is not elected, but they are chosen by God. You cannot vote a prophet into the prophetic office. Oh, glory. You cannot vote a prophetess into the prophetic office. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It is very important to understand that God has called the prophet and the prophetess, and he uses them as his mouthpiece. And when he's not using them, usually what a seasoned prophet or prophetess is doing is they're sitting alone. They're sitting alone with God, or they're sitting alone with their mate, their spouse, or even with their children. Another thing is prophets and prophetesses, they don't talk much. They don't think that you're a prophet and a prophetess and you're going to be full of words and always talk. No, not a seasoned one. Now, a baby one, yes. A prophet or a prophetess whose gift is not cultivated, yes. They will talk a lot. They will be competitive. If you say, well, you know, I used to walk with God and the Lord used to send me down to the water, that competitive prophet or prophetess was, well, yeah, I used to go by the water too. That's not good. A seasoned prophet and a seasoned prophetess have very little words, and they don't shake everybody's hand either, because the palms are the area in which the anointing is transferred through. So when I know when the Lord, when I meet people and I run into some people, that some people, God will tell me, don't shake their hand, and I'll ball up my fist and give them dap. Now, they might think it's cool, but what I'm actually doing is protecting my palms, because I don't need none trying to transfer itself against the anointing on my life, and they don't want nothing from how God uses me to transfer in their life, lest the Lord say, because Scripture does say, lay hands suddenly on no man. So, you know, if a person is not holy, if they're not walking with God, if they're not even a child of God, and then a true seasoned prophet or prophetess shake their hand, that person is going to go through some things. Why? Because the prophet and the prophetess is anointed. The anointing remains in them. Since we're in the New Testament filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, oh, glory. The Holy Ghost, he lives in us. He is not a thing. The Holy Ghost, he lives in us. So there's a lot of people who call the Holy Ghost an it. Well, if you have it, then you don't have him, because he is not an it. The Holy Ghost, he is God. He's God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's God. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit. God himself said, be holy, for I am holy. So God is not a Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. Let's worship him. Let's honor him. Let's honor him. Let's worship him. Those of you of the prophetic anointing that are listening to this message right now, I encourage you to stay before God and let God use you in this day and season to speak openly and boldly what the Holy Ghost tells you to say. Because there's so much going on and the enemy is running rampant right now. Same-sex marriage is mock people in the government that are just going against the gospel, in the courthouse, going against the gospel, even in the secular world, going against the gospel. A lot of people used to donate to ministries. Now they don't, because they're going against the gospel. And God has called and raised up prophets and prophetesses in this generation to go forth and speak the raw and uncut word of God. Listen to this, and the Lord is leading me to close with this. Those world-renowned ministers that are on national level, a lot of them have fallen. They've become rich. They have used to making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, because to them, ministry has become a job. And this is why the IRS is attacking the ministries and making these ministers pay taxes on their income, because the salary they get is considered taxable income. But God is raising up a people who have faith in him, who will minister because he's saved, who will accept the love offering if God say to, or turn it down if God say to. Yes, he is. God is raising up a generation of psalmists, which are also prophets and prophetesses, that will sing or play an instrument and not ask to be on the payroll. I used to think that, wow, the organists would play because they love God. But that's not how it is these days. There's people playing instruments and even in the ministry working that are not even saved. If you're not saved and you're in the choir, how can you worship God if you don't know him? How can you praise him if you don't know him? How can you go to the club on the weekend and then on Sunday you're in the choir? And brother pastors, how can you allow this to go on? The devil is infiltrating the ministry and you are letting him. Prophets, prophetesses, the Holy Ghost says, stand up, tell the truth, rebuke sin. Rebuke the devil. Plead the blood in Jesus' name. Declare the ministry to be holy again. Fight for the gospel. Defend it. The ministry, holy ground again. Preach heaven or hell. Let the people know if you're not born again, you will not see God. You will not see God. I hate to bust somebody's bubble, but if you're not born again, you will not see God. I read my Bible. So what? So what? I sing in a choir. So what? I'm in a pulpit. So what? I'm doing my trial sermon Sunday. So what? If you're not born again, you will not go to heaven. All of that work for nothing. Prophets, prophetesses, tell the truth. Let God use you. And don't worry, because as you allow God to use you to speak what thus saith the Lord, can nobody come against you and win. Why? Because the Lord said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. God is with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for hearing us. We ask that you forgive us for all of our sins. Wash us, purge us, cleanse us, purify us. Oh, Yadavoshika. Help us and strengthen us. Thank you for this time of fellowship and gathering. We love you, Lord. And we ask that you help us to show you that. Make us usable and use us. Fill us with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Give us a spiritual understanding of your word. And send your prophets and prophetesses out. Let the chains fall now. Those that are on the bench, that the pastor is not given an opportunity to speak because they see the anointing on the prophet or the prophetess, I ask, Lord, that you remove them out of that ministry and put them over the work you have for them to do and send them out. We thank you, Lord, for this message and this opportunity. And we are going to sit back and watch you move to prove that you are God. Let that spirit of revival start moving toward the earth realm. In Jesus' mighty name, prepare the evangelists. Stir up the gift in them. And all of those that have messed up, all of those that have chosen to follow money instead of God, we ask in Jesus' name that you move them out the way so that you can bring forth the ones that you raised up in this season and in this generation. In Jesus' name, we thank you for hearing us and for answering us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Feel free to call the ministry, 203-745-8162. if you need prayer or if you need someone to touch and agree with you concerning the things of God, the ministry is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. There's a link on the description of this lesson to the ministry's website where you can share your prayer request. And once it's shared, the ministry will be praying for you daily and praying with you daily. You know, prayer reaches regions, and it goes through boundaries. It goes through walls. It goes from state to state, country to country, east, west, north, and south. Prayer goes all over. Let's touch and agree that the Lord may be in the midst. There's also a link to the ministry's website that you can share a love offering of any amount. It'll be a blessing because God uses us to help those in the street that are homeless and sleeping on benches and everything. We like to put some care packages together for them, and your love offering will go a long way at Dollar Tree. Let God use you to be a blessing. Don't close your hand. Open it. I love you in Jesus' name. This is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., Apostle of the Word of God through Jesus Christ, Street and Outreach Ministry, based in New Haven and incorporated in 8, soon to be 9 other states, in Jesus' name. And again, 203-745-8162. After this broadcast, you can call. Doesn't matter what time it is. God bless you. Stay encouraged. In Jesus' name. Amen.